Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we take a rough, twisted, and knobbly journey into Uncle Will's tale of power, hypocrisy, and moral dilemmas, where justice and mercy clash when a prudish and puritanical deputy discovers that wielding power is far easier than resisting temptation, and a novice nun learns that righteousness doesn't always come with a happy ending. It is here in this twisted and tangled tale of William's Measure for Measure we find the word gnarled. The play so far. Duke Vincentio decides to hand over power to the puritanical Angelo, ostensibly so he can enjoy a sabbatical in disguise as a friar, but really because the Duke has a curious hobby of conducting social experiments on his subjects, but that's for later. No sooner than the Duke gets into the habit of donning his habit, Angelo begins the enforcement of Vienna's long-ignored moral laws, which is where we meet Claudio, a young man in love and engaged to be married to Juliet, no relation. But he has been a bit over-eager, shall we say, as Claudio must now prepare not just for the upcoming nuptials, but also fatherhood. When this is brought to the attention of Angelo, he immediately seizes on the opportunity to make an example of him, and with draconian zeal sentences young Claudio to death for the heinous crime of premarital sex. Which is where we meet our heroine, Isabella, the sister of the doomed Claudio, who is herself a novice nun, fervently committed to her religious vows and moral purity. In Act Two, Isabella visits Angelo and begs him to spare her brother's life. He, however, is having none of it.
Your brother dies tomorrow. Be content.
So you must be the first that gives this sentence, and he that suffers? Oh, it is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant.
That's well said.
Could great men thunder, as Jove himself does? Jove would ne'er be quiet, for every pelting petty officer would use his heaven for thunder, nothing but thunder. Merciful heaven! Thou rather with thy sharp and sulphurous bolt splits the unwedgeable and gnarled oak than the soft myrtle.
Now, as an adjective, gnarled more than likely has its roots. See what I did there? With the word knurl, which describes a small protuberance, outgrowth, or knob, as found in trees or branches. William's gnarled really didn't catch on for quite a while. Uncle Will did use a variant gnarl, meaning to snarl, in the second part of his Henry VI, as well as his Richard II. But it took off and truly became rooted in our everyday lexicon in the 1970s by a certain subset of the Southern California youth culture, when they looked out at the twisty, knobby, choppy, seemingly unrideable waves.
Oh, that's so gnarly, dude.
Yeah, I know, dude. But back to William's Measure for Measure. And to make this tale more twisted, Angelo finds himself entangled in his own web of hypocrisy as he suddenly falls prey to a rather inconvenient attraction to Isabella, leading him to set aside his own moral absolutism as he proposes a solution to her conundrum. Set aside her vows of purity and chastity and have sex with him, and her brother might, just might, survive, which is simply...
Oh, dude, that's gnarly as fuck.
Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.